So I thank the organizers for giving me the opportunity to give a talk here. And also I thank the several participants who asked me about the situation in Japan. Okay, I very much encouraged by your words, and so I hope we will recover soon. But okay, thank you very much. So my talk is about the evolutionary model of Young diagrams with conservation law, but mostly I will talk about not the time evolution, but the static problem. So the plan of my talk is the following. So the first static problem, actually this is not so difficult maybe. So this is the, we have we consider that some canonical ensemble which has two conservation laws, originally coming from the Young diagrams. But one of the conservation law is not spatially inhomogeneous. So such situation we consider and then prove such canonical ensemble goes to, in a sense, to the grand canonical ensembles, but the spatial profile is not constant, but depending on the space variables. This is a kind of the local equilibrium. Then in the first part, I will explain what is the problem and show you the results, and then give proof, which is actually not, so the idea of the proof is not so difficult, I think. But it contains something, I hope, something new from the viewpoint of the probability theory, I think. Then in the third part, I will explain this model is how related to the Young diagrams problem. And then in the second part, I will give some result about the hydrodynamic limit. And the first part of the hydrodynamic limit is already published, which is dynamics associated with grand canonical ensembles. Now I'm working for the second part, which is conserved dynamics, which conserve the, I consider Young diagrams, the evolution, and then it conserves the area. And then we have something like a surface diffusion and fourth order equation. This is just conjecture. You have to show something more. But I just give you some conjecture about this problems in the last moment. Okay, so first problem is this one. So this is a static problem. So the problem is very simple. So this is eta. Eta is the usual configuration, taking the value 0 or 1. If eta k is 1, then there is a particle outside k, and eta k equals 0, then there is no particle at k. And this is the usual thing. Then we consider mostly on this one-dimensional lattice points running from minus L to L, and eventually L goes to infinity. Then I denote by k lambda L eta, which is the sum of eta k over this region. This is nothing but the particle numbers on this region, lambda k, lambda L. And I also consider another quantity, which is the sum of k times eta k. So this is a non-translation invariant object, but I consider this quantity also. So for instance, if you look at this picture, in this case, L is 5, so the site is from minus 5 to 5, and there are 1, 2, 3, 4 particles, therefore the particle number of the particle is 4, and M is this one, defined by this one. So in this case, M is nothing but the sum of the sites which are occupied by particles. So here you pick up minus 3 and 1, 2, 4. If you sum up minus 3 plus 1 plus 2, 4, then you have 4. So in this case, M is 4. So we consider such quantities, K and M. Then canonical ensemble is defined by the uniform probability measure on this configuration space. So first you give K and M and consider all configurations on this lambda L, which gives us a particle number k, and this quantity becomes m. So we consider this space, and we consider the uniform probability measure on this space, which is called nu lambda LKM. This is the canonical ensemble, which I want to consider. Then the corresponding grand canonical ensemble is nothing but the Bernoulli measure, nu lambda with the constant mean alpha, which is from 0 to 1. And I consider on the infinite division, therefore this is the measure, probability measure on this space. So this is a canonical ensemble, and this is a grand canonical ensemble in our setting. So m, so yeah, one comment is, if m is positive, that means the particle may be located right hand side more than the left hand side. And if m is negative, because you pick up the site, the coordinate of the site where the particle occupies. Therefore, if m is negative, then you find more particle in the left, roughly saying. Therefore, m, capital M, gives, in a sense, a bias of the particles. So instead of giving the, in the Fourier law case, you consider the boundary condition at minus 5 or plus 5. But instead, in our case, we consider this condition instead. Then what happens? That is my problem. Then the result is the following. So the theorem. So we know we assume these three conditions, maybe actually two conditions. For k behaves, so k divided by the volume, 2L plus 1 converges to rho. So therefore rho is the mean particle density. And then m, also we assume m divided by volume squared converges to some constant m, small m. We assume these two conditions. And then we scale in this way, KL, and so we denote KL and ML. And also we observe, so this is a microscopic picture from minus L to L, and there are several particles on this site, on these sites. Then we look at the situation around, so XJ, we pick up P points, P is some integer, maybe P is 1 is okay, but I take several points at the macroscopic point from here. So X1, X2, X3 are located on this region from minus 1 to 1. This is a macroscopic region corresponding to the microscopic region from minus L to L. And we pick up macroscopic P points, X1 to XP. And then the corresponding microscopic points are denoted by KJ, which satisfies this condition. KJ divided by L converges to XL. So we are looking at the situation around these points. Then the theorem says, so as a test function, you take P local functions, and then this is the expectation under the canonical ensemble. The product of the test function but shifted by KJ. So this means you look at around the point KJ. Then this expectation converges to this one. This one is expectation by a grand canonical ensemble. So nu is just a grand canonical Bernoulli measure in this case, but alpha, I denoted by alpha, but this mean density actually depends on the space variable x, and how it depends on the space variable is given by this formula. So the particle density is given by this formula, but A and B should be adjusted from rho and m. So we are given by rho and m first, and then you define A and B from these two relations. So beta is given by this special function, and then beta is the profile of the particle density, but the first condition means the particle density, macroscopic particle density, if you average over this interval, then you get this original law. So this first condition is quite natural, I think. Then to adjust to M, you have a second relation. By using this relation, you can actually determine A and B uniquely from rho and M. So this is the main theorem. So that we started from very simple canonical ensemble, which is a uniform probability measure on this configuration space, and K behaves like volume times rho, and M behaves like volume square times small m. Then a uniform probability measure mu converges to Bernoulli measure, but the Bernoulli measure depends on the space variables. That is what I am saying in this theorem. The profile is defined in these relations. We can say in this way also. So local equilibrium is attained. That is from last theorem one. If you only look at the measure around the macroscopic point X, the microscopic canonical ensemble viewed around the microscopic point K, which corresponds to the macroscopic point X, converges to the Bernoulli measure with the density beta X, and the asymptotically independent because the limit is given by the product. Therefore, the asymptotically these measures are independent. And also, you can pick up A and B from rho and M uniquely because we have this remark. So the mapping from A, B, two-dimensional mapping from A, B from this region to rho M to this region, rho M always takes in this region. This is a diffeomorphism. So this is one-to-one onto mapping. Therefore, if you first take rho and M, then you can determine A and B uniquely. So in this sense, these two relations define A and B uniquely from rho and M. So this gives a solution for this problem. And A is actually the density at zero. So if you take X equals zero, then this gives the numerator becomes A, but the denominator becomes one. Therefore, A is just the density at here. And if B is positive, M is positive, then actually B is positive. Therefore, the profile is like this, increasing in this. So M is, as I said, if M is positive, there is a bias for the particle to put on the right-hand side. Therefore, the density is bigger on the right-hand side. If M is negative, it's converse, and the graph is like this. So B becomes negative. So this is what we can show for this. Actually, this kind of result is necessary to show the hydrodynamic limit in the next step. Therefore, I'm working on this kind of equivalence ensemble problems. But anyway, this itself is maybe interesting, I hope. So the proof. The proof is maybe not so important for physicists, I think. But anyway, the proof is not so difficult. Therefore, I just give a very simple way how we can give the proof. So the first observation is this one. So we consider the product measure with the profile. So beta is arbitrary profile on the macroscopic profile. And then we consider the Bernoulli measure, which is just independent sequence, eta k with the mean at k is given by beta k over f. then if beta has the form beta AB in the last in the theorem 1, then the conditional measure of this product measure on this configuration space becomes uniform. This explains why we have this special function in the limit. So this is actually not so difficult, but anyway, we have this kind of result first. So we have to eventually we have to adjust A and B, but to the two parameters rho and m. So this just fit because we have two possibilities to take A and B. So this is the first step. Then the second step is actually this is also common, I think. So you want to show I take only one, I only pick up one point, therefore I only take one local function. Then we look at the average after shifting by k under the canonical ensemble, and I compare it with the average under the grand canonical ensembles. Then we want to show this converges to zero if beta x is chosen in the way I explained in the theorem. So by this lemma, this uniform measure is a conditional measure of this one. Therefore, if you take arbitrary A and B, this integration or the expectation can be rewritten in this way, just by the conditional. I just write the conditional relation, then I get this relation. But this is just constant. But so the expectation is only for this part. But AB can be taken arbitrarily because of this lemma. But we have to adjust later how we take A and B. Then we need the local limit theorem for this measure, nu beta x lambda. Since we want to compute the asymptotic behavior of this denominator and also nominators. Actually, this part and this part essentially independent. Therefore, you can separate out. But anyway, to compute the asymptotic behavior of these quantities, once you can show the local limit theorem, local central limit theorem for this part, then you get the asymptotic behaviors. So we have actually the local limit theorem in this. So this is the usual. The result itself is the usual. So Q0 is limiting Gaussian density. Gaussian density, and this probability measure converges by multiplying square root of the variance of these two random variables, then this converges to the Gaussian density. This can be shown. But to show this, we cannot apply the classical local limit theorem, for instance, Petrov book. This is not applicable, because in our case, we have a weight k, so these are independent sequences. These are also independent sequences, but we have a very big, so k goes to infinity. If k goes to the right-hand side, or the k goes to minus infinity, if k goes to the negative side. But anyway, this k is very big. Therefore, to apply the classical local limit theorem, say the standard difference is the Petrov book. They assume some good moment conditions, like Lindeberg condition, but it doesn't satisfy it. Therefore, you have to work slightly more. So anyway, but in some using the Fourier analysis, we can actually I cannot explain the detail, but anyway, we can prove the local limit theorem by using the fact that the k, the weight is just k, or the linearly growing, then we can show the local limit theorem, in fact. And then how to define the A and B is actually, so here, how we pick up, so here. So A and B are arbitrary up to this point, but we have to choose A and B in a proper way. In fact, the proper choice is that the Gaussian density must be order one because this is a smaller the term. So you have to choose y1 and y2 to be almost zero. Then this becomes order one object. Otherwise, you cannot apply this limit theorem. That gives you EL. EL is roughly saying the L times the integration of beta. And FL is L times integration of x times beta x. So this should be comparable to K and comparable to M. That is our choice. That is written here. So K should be comparable with this one, but EL, so as I explained, EL is L times the integration of beta. And then this should be comparable. That gives the first relation, which I wrote in the theorem. So two rho equals the integration of beta x from minus 1 to 1. And for m, it was equal to minus 1, integration of minus 1 to x times beta x dx. So these two second conditions. So in this way, we can prove the equivalence of ensemble in this way using the local limit theorem. I think this is, in a sense, not so difficult, but you need something to work in this situation. So I can prove the theorem one. So this gives a proof of this theorem. So or the this one, this statement. So local equilibrium is attained, and giving the spatially inhomogeneous conserved quantity, you give something Gram canonical ensemble. This is what I'm claiming at this moment. So I don't know if this is related to Fourier law, but instead of giving the boundary conditions, but we are forcing something inside, then it gives some similar effect to the Fourier law. That is what I think, but I'm not so sure about it. Yes. Yeah. Next, I will introduce the dynamics, but this is just the equilibrium theory. Yes. So this is just the equilibrium theory. So I studied this. Then still I explained the equilibrium theory. So actually, the problem which I studied in the theorem one is related to the problems arising in the Young diagrams. So Young diagrams in the restricted uniform statistics, or actually Velschi called the Fermi statistics, that is a Young diagram with height differences 0 or 1. So like this, height Young diagrams is in this case are just a decreasing function and a step function with a step size 1. And Fermi case, which is called by Velschi, the step difference is at most 1 or flat. So here, there is no jump. Therefore, height difference is 0. So height difference is 0 or 1. And the step function and the jump occurs only at the integer point. So that like this one. So if you consider the Young diagram with height, so this is a degrees function, and height at the leftmost point is k, like this, the leftmost point, the height at the leftmost point is k, and side length is from, in this case, minus L minus 1 to L, therefore the height side length is 2L plus 1, and I consider the Young diagrams with area capital A. Then I denote psi L, the height function of the Young diagram, and as I explained, the height difference is denoted by eta k, that is psi k minus 1 minus psi k. This takes only the value 0 or 1 in the Fermi case. And k, so from the particle picture. In the last theorem, I consider only the particle picture. Particle picture. So the height at the leftmost point is nothing but the k lambda. Because the jump, so particle is here, so jump. By definition, particle located at the jump point, here, 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 here. So you sum, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Therefore, the 5 is the height at the leftmost point. Therefore, the k lambda l is nothing but the height at the leftmost point, and side length is just one. And the area, how area is given by the picture of the particles. So you may imagine just if there is one particle here, then the area, this strip, is given by the length from k to minus l minus 1 is k plus l plus 1. Therefore, the area, the height is 1. Therefore, the area of this strip is given by k plus l plus 1. And if there is a particle, then this gives 1. Therefore, if you sum up this quantity, then this gives the area of the Young diagram. Then you can derive this, since l plus 1 is a constant, you give the constant l plus 1, and just the sum of eta k gives the k lambda. And here, k times eta k appears. That is the quantity which I defined in the theorem 1. So k times eta k and sum gives you the m. Therefore, if you consider the set of the Young diagrams with given height k and area a, then you consider the uniform probability measure on such space. That is what I discussed in the theorem 1. So I consider, in fact, the Young diagrams with assigned area a and height at k. In a sense, you may consider in the other way. You have a box. You have a box with height k and side length 2l plus 1. You consider the box, and then you consider the all Young diagrams in this box with the area a. So that is what I'm considering in this situation. And then the uniform measure is given by mu. So the theorem gives a result for the Young diagrams in this sense. And in fact, we can show this corollary from the theorem. So we scale down the Young diagrams by shrinking the height by dividing by L, and also shrinking the side, so the horizontal direction also by L. Then this is a macroscopic Young diagrams. Then by theorem 1, under the same scaling in K and M, we have this result. So this is random under this measure, but the random Young diagrams converges to something deterministic curve, deterministic height function defined by this formula. Beta was the function which appeared in the theorem 1. Actually, this depends on rho and M, or A and B, or rho and M. So if you define the height function psi in this way, this is, of course, a determinant function, then you get the rho Brage number in this sense. So so the last theorem 1 can be rewritten into the rho Brage number for the Young diagrams in this sense, in the box. So we are considering in the box, but height is under this scaling, height becomes 2L, and height 1 at the, it becomes 0, and area becomes this way. So because slightly modified area, the microscopic area is given by this way. And k divided by 2l plus 1 converges to rho, and m divided by 2l plus 1 squared converges to m. Therefore, from such relations, we get this relation. Anyway, so this curve has a definite area, 2 rho plus 4m. And also, it from the shape of the beta y was the function A times e to the b by over something, which I wrote in the theorem. You can actually derive the differential equation which satisfied by this function. Actually, you just differentiate, and then you observe this function satisfied this differential equation. Yeah, but just by simple computation. But the comment is that this is a bagasse. So if you take a minus c prime as a function, then this is a stationary solution of the viscous bagasse equation. So this profile, Young diagram profile, is related to the viscous bagasse equation in this way. And actually, Bellesic derived this curve with constant c to be pi over square root 12. He considered not on the box, not in the box, but on the whole domain. And in his case, the area was 1. Therefore, the constant becomes this special form. But anyway, essentially, the profile satisfies the same ordinary differential equation, which is actually related to the viscous bagasse equation in this way. So I proved, I started with a particle system and then proved the local equilibrium. That is actually written to the problems of Young diagrams. And then we can show the Lobrange number for the Young diagrams. And the limit, which is usually called the Bellesic curve, is described by this ordinary differential equation, which is related to the viscous bagasse equation. That is what I explained by now. Okay, so the next, there is a related result by Boutillier and others. Maybe, so he considered mostly Bose statistics, which is related. So Bose statistics, so Fermi case, just height difference is 0 or 1. But Bose case is height difference is, may not be 1. So in the particle picture, there may be multiple particles can sit, occupy the each site. So he considered such statistics, and he considered grand canonical ensembles. In our case, we started from the canonical ensembles. It's a slightly different situation. But we can show that his result and our result is, in a sense, identical. So we can derive the same ordinary differential equation. Therefore, this is quite related. And also the Bellesic case is, as I explained, is quite related. So up to now, I explained our result about the static case. The paper is already put on the archive, so if you are interested, just look at the paper on the archive. And then I go to the dynamics now. So the dynamics associated with the grand canonical ensembles first. And then I want to explain the dynamics associated with the canonical ensembles. So this part is already published in CMP last year. So this, we consider the grand canonical ensembles, not the canonical ensembles. Therefore, the grand canonical ensembles, so I write in the picture of the Young diagrams. So grand canonical ensembles is defined by the measure, probability measure, which is proportional to some parameter epsilon, maybe chemical potential, to the power of the area of the Young diagram psi. So we consider on the whole area. Whole area means the site starting from 0 to plus infinity. And then we choose this epsilon in such a way that the area of the Young diagram under the grand canonical ensemble is n squared, because we will later scale down the Young diagram. The area becomes to be 1. Therefore, we take n squared, because this is two-dimensional things. Therefore, we consider n squared. Then, in the uniform case or the Bose case, epsilon behaves like 1 minus alpha over n. Alpha is given by this constant, and the Fermi case, epsilon is given by this relation decide epsilon. And then epsilon has this asymptotic expansion for the Fermi case. Then the dynamics, which has this grand canonical ensemble as an invariant measure, is simply given by the weak in the Bose case or the uniform statics case by the weakly asymmetric zero range process, but with a stochastic reservoir at zero, but a weakly asymmetric stochastic reservoir zero. So this is the dynamics which corresponds to the grand canonical ensembles. I think this is a natural candidate. And for the Fermi case, or the restricted uniform case, weakly asymmetric simple exclusion process with stochastic reservoir at zero, but weakly asymmetric some conditions. So I go back. Then this means, weakly asymmetric means the rate, the one box, so here is no box, then there is a chance to be created. One box is created here, that rate is given by epsilon. And the annihilation from here to this is occurred with the rate 1. Then the, such dynamics preserve the grand canonical ensemble under this time evolution. So epsilon is slightly less than, so n, eventually n goes to infinity. Therefore, epsilon is almost 1, but slightly less than 1. Therefore, it is called the and also we actually project to the particle pictures, then this means a particle, so creation means a particle jump to the right, and the annihilation means a particle jump to the left. So this is a zero range process with a jump rate slightly weakly asymmetric. Therefore, this is a weakly asymmetric zero range process, and you have to introduce some stochastic reservoir at zero. Then we proved the hydrodynamic limit with Makiko Sasada and published last year. And for the so we introduced a diffusive scaling in time. We scale up n square t, and in space we shrink down the height and also vertical direction and also horizontal direction by n. Then the area of this Young diagram is kept always one. Ah, no. So the average area, mean area of this one, should be something behave like one. So we introduce this way the scaling in space and also the diffusive scaling in time. Then the result is the following. So if the initial data converges, then this random Young diagram after scaling converges to something, and the limit satisfies this nonlinear PDE. And actually, Belchik considered such problem for the equilibrium situation. Then we can show that this nonlinear PDE has a unique stationary solution, and that is nothing but the Belchik curve in this situation. That is shown. And also for the Fermi case, we have a similar result. And as I said already, we have something like a viscous virus equation in this case, and with the boundary condition at Neumann type boundary condition at zero. And again, in this case, the Belchik curve, we can show that the Belchik curve is a unique stationary solution of this PDE. So we can recover basic result from the dynamical point of view in this way. And the last, okay, so the basic curve is this one. So maybe it's not so. So the last, I'm now studying the conservative dynamics. In the last case, the dynamics doesn't conserve the area. But I want to consider the dynamics which conserve the area under the time evolution. Then, so in this case, for instance, so the Fermi case I consider. So the height difference is always 0 or 1. Then, maybe here, once this disappears, then it appears somewhere else. Otherwise, the area is not conserved. Then maybe the best possible choice is to find the nearest possible position. And maybe this is atom, maybe. The atom moves around, then this jumps to this point. If you find the next nearest stable position, then this stops. And also to be the dynamics reversible, so this is the jump rate. I call the, this flat part is the length 4, so the R for G type, and also I consider F type, but anyway, like this, the flat part is length 4, and to be the dynamics to be reversible, the reversed transition, that means that this goes up and come to here, it happens with the same rate, we assume such reversibility. And also, in this situation, there is a stairs, then if this want to move here, then height difference becomes 2. Then, therefore, this atom cannot stop here. Then he must go down, but still this again, height difference becomes 2, then it is not possible. Then it must go down there. Then he finds some stable position. Then I call this kind of stairs transition by F. So R3, 3 is the distance, 1, 2, 3, the distance 3, and this stair type transition. And also the converse transition happens with the same rate. That is our model. So this can be transformed again to the particle picture. So you put the particle, if there is a height difference 1, like this, and then for instance, this transition, this disappears, that means this particle jumps to the left at the same time, simultaneously. This becomes flat, therefore this particle jumps to the right. So then this conserves actually the M was K times eta K, and sum of K times eta K is conserved by this transition for the particle system. Therefore, that M is quite natural to be considered in the static case. And also this jumps to the left, and at the same time, this should jump to the right. And the converse transition happens with the same jump rate. That is my model. But actually, this is too difficult. There are several problems, technical problems, so I cannot solve at this moment. So the dynamics which I explained here, so maybe I already explained what is written here, but I have a conjecture for the particle system. So the expected result is, so I consider the particle picture, so eta k and the empirical distribution I consider, then I expect this should converge to something, the limit should be characterized by this Kahn-Hilliard type nonlinear PD, which is a fourth order PD. So the Fourier-Rose case, so this is a first order differential operator, first order differential operator. But in this model, this should be second order operator, should appear here. And this should be the fourth order equation and diffusion, so maybe mobility. This is not a diffusion. I don't know. I'm not a physicist. I don't know how to call. But maybe mobility is given by a very, very complicated variational formula, like a Green-Kubo formula. But I expect this should be true. But actually, what I'm trying to show is the Laplacian replacement, which is sometimes called the fluctuation displacement relation. As Stefano explained, once the current, in this case, current is given by this formula, once current is given by the some diffusion constant times, in his case, gradient, but in our case, it should be Laplacian. And plus something going to zero. Once we get this kind of decomposition of the current, then we are almost done. But to show this, I am now following the Vardan's machinery, but it's rather difficult, even the showing the spectral gap. If the CR is constant, uniformly positive, then it's okay. But actually, the jump rate should go to zero as R goes to infinity because the time is So this surface diffusion, therefore this is atom, this fluctuate like a Brownian motion. Therefore, so jump rate is the inverse of the time taking this atom goes to zero to this point. Therefore, this should behave like one over distance squared. That is a quite natural choice. But in that case, spectral gap is not so easy to prove anyway. So there are several questions. Maybe I am now trying to slightly modify this model, not direct to this model, but then it might be possible. So I stop my talk now. Thank you.